Okay, good morning, everybody. Today, I would like to learn with you about Tzom Gedalia. So, basically, what I want to explore with you is the story surrounding why we fast today. So if everybody will turn to the source sheets, you will see that the story of Gedalia's assassination begins in Sefer Melachim. Source number one says that in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayachot HaMelech Bavel V'imitem B'Rivlab Eretz Chamad V'Egel Yehuda Ma'al Admato. Melech Bavel takes the last people in Israel. He gets rid of them, and then, effectively, Judah is exiled from its land. Okay, everybody is basically gone. Pasuk Chaf Bet we see, V'ha'am ha'nish'ar be'eretz Yehuda, asher hish'ir Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel, v'yafked alem et Gedaliahu ben Achikam ben Shafan. The only people that are left, that Nebuchadnezzar left there, he appointed upon them Gedaliahu ben Achikam ben Shafan. We will see in source number two that he specifically left people there, but they're not necessarily the best people in the land, but he did leave people there. Okay. In Pasuk Chaf Gimel it says, Vayishmu kol sarei chayalim hemavan v'ha'anashim ki ifkid melech bavel Gedaliahu v'yavo El Gedaliah HaMitzvah, Vishma ben Netanyah, Vyochanan ben Karech, Vishrael ben Tanchumet, Hanetofati, Vyazanyahu ben Hamachati, Hema Vansham. And when all of these soldiers who had run away heard that Melech Bavel had appointed Gedaliah, they all came to Mitzpah, which is the place that he had set up as his capital, and the Pasuk then goes on to list certain individuals of renown. They are people who are worth mentioning. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, when they arrive, Vayishavah lehem Gedaliahu l'ansheyem, Vayomer lehem, Al tiru ma'avdei akostim, Shvu ba'aretz, Ivdu ha'melech Bavel v'itav lachem. Gedaliah makes an oath to them and to their people, and he says, don't be afraid of the Chaldeans, okay? Stay anywhere in the land, serve the king of Babylonia, and it'll be good for you. As far as I can tell, that's the only reason why Nebuchadnezzar would have appointed him. From the research that I did, I can't figure out why Nebuchadnezzar would have chosen him. I understand from a Jewish point of view why Gedaliah might have been a worthwhile guy, but I don't understand why from Nebuchadnezzar's point of view, why he was anything worthwhile to him. So, for example, if you'll look, Gedaliah comes from a pretty impressive family. Achikam, his dad, if you'll look at the first star underneath source number one, we have a pasuk from Yirmiyahu that says, after Yirmiyahu, in chapter 25 of his book, gave one of his many prophecies that said, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Everybody got very angry at him, and they were going to kill him. Gedaliah's father saved him. It says, Achyad Achikam ben Shafan haitat Yirmiyahu levilti tedoto biyad ha'am lahamito. Achikam saved Yirmiyahu's life. The only reason why Yirmiyahu isn't dead is because of Achikam. So, from a Jewish point of view, Achikam's pretty impressive. Also, Gedaliah's grandfather is very impressive. If you look at the double star, we'll see that Shafan was a very high-placing scribe when Yoshiyahu was king. If you were to read Melachim Bet, Parakhaf Bet, Kings 2, Chapter 22, Shafan plays a major role. I only chose one of the psukim. So if you'll see with me, it says, "Vayagid Shafan asofer lamelech lemor sefer natan lichilkiyahu kohen vayikrev Shafan lefnei melech." When Yoshiyahu became king, it was a very sad state of affairs. Here he is, a king of Yehuda, and all of a sudden he wants to clean up the Beis HaMikdash, and while they're cleaning up the Beis HaMikdash, they find a Torah. What it means that they found a Torah? Does that mean it was a special Torah? Does that mean they hadn't had a Torah in a while? That'll be, I guess, next year's year. But the bottom line is that Shaphan was the scribe that Yoshiyahu entrusted the treasury money with to go and get the Beis HaMikdash cleaned up and rebuilt. And Shaphan is the major person in Yoshiyahu's kingdom involved in this whole rebuilding and the dedication of the Torah and Yoshiyahu's tshuva movement. So again, Gedalia, from a Jewish perspective, very impressive family Jewishly. Achikam saved Yirmiyahu's life. Shaphan worked for the king and was a scribe. Very impressive. Why Nebuchadnezzar would care about any of that, I don't know. So why Nebuchadnezzar would appoint him as the person in charge, as the governor of the remaining Jews, the only thing I can think of is what I just read in Pasuk Chavdalet. When all these people come back, because they hear that Gedalia is the governor, he says to them, just serve Bavel and it'll be good. So I'm wondering if what's going on is Gedalia was someone, A, who hadn't run away, okay? He had stayed in the country. From a Jewish point of view, they regarded him well, and they considered him somebody important, and they trusted him because he's the one who protected Yirmiyahu. And additionally, the Babylonians trusted him because he told them to listen to them. So as far as I can tell, that pasuk seems to be the only reason why. Otherwise, I can't find, at least in the text, any other interaction that would explain why he was chosen. Okay, pasuk chafei, vayhi b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, ba Yishmael ben Netanya ben Elishama, mizera ha-melucha, asara anashim mito, v'yaku et Gedaliahu, v'yamot et ha-yudim, v'et ha-kasdim asher yutu b'mitzpah. Okay, and the seventh month in Tishrei, doesn't give us a date, Yishmael ben Netanya ben Elishama Mizera HaMelucha. So Yishmael ben Netanya, who was from Beis David, the house of David, and 10 men came and they killed Gedalia. So it doesn't seem to give any more of a story than that, but if you can tell, it doesn't seem like Gedalia came from Shevet Yehuda or from the house of David. So what seems to be implied is that Yishmael was upset that Gedalia was in charge and not him. That technically, if there was anybody who should have been in charge at the time, it should have been somebody who was from the tribe of Yehuda. And as a result, Yishmael killed him, and not only killed Gedalia, but killed all the Jews that were with Gedalia in Mitzpeh, his capital at the time, and all the Kastim, all the other Chaldeans that were there at the same time. Pasuk Chavav, Vayakumu kol ami katon v'agadol v'sarei ha'chayalim v'yavo Mitzrayim kiyaru mipnei kastim. So anybody who was left in the country at that time, not in Mitzpeh, got up and ran away to Egypt because they were afraid that, you know, one Jew had killed another Jew and they'd killed other Chaldeans, and then Nebuchadnezzar would come and kill the rest of them out. So when you read Malachim Bet, and you have these 6-7 psukim, that's the whole story. You don't get anything else. However, if you go to source number 2 and number 3, we get a much fuller picture. Yirmiyahu tells us a much fuller picture in his book, in chapters 40 and 41. In Malachim, which Yirmiyahu wrote as well, he tells us what happens, but he doesn't go into a lot of detail. He just wants you to know, when he records the Chorban, that afterwards a group had been left, and then because of Gedalia's assassination, even they had left, and that was the end of the story. However, in Yirmiyahu's book, he tells you the full story. And that's where I'd like to turn now, so that we can understand a little bit more about what's going on. So if you look with me in source number 2, let's look in Yirmiyahu, Perek Mem, chapter 40, starting in Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. It's pretty much similar to what we've read already. It says, "Vayishmu kol sarei chayalim asher basadeh hima v'anashem kifkid malch bavel gedaliah ben achikam v'aretz v'chi hifkidutzo anashim v'anashim v'taf umidalat ha'aretz masher lo haglu bavela." When all the soldiers that were hiding out in the fields and all of their men heard that Gedaliah had been appointed a governor and that there were other men and women with him, they all came out. So this is where you see who was left in the country. You see the phrase, mi dalat ha'aretz, dal meaning poor. The Babylonians had left people, but they were the weaker people, the poorer people. All the wealthy, royal people and higher functioning people in terms of government and jobs, they were all gone. The dal of the aretz, the poorer of the people, they were the ones who Nebuchadnezzar had left in the country. And when all the soldiers who had been hiding out heard that Gedaliah and these people were there, they all came out. Pasuk Chet is exactly pretty much like Pasuk Chaf Gimel, so I'm not going to read it. And then Pasuk Tet is also the same. Now I want to look at Pasuk Yud, which is, let's see, five lines down. Va'ani, hinini yoshev ba'mitzvah, la'amod lifnei ha'kostim asher yavo elenu, va'atem, isfu yayin, v'kayitz, v'shemen, v'simu b'chleichem, u'shvu ba'arechem asher tefastem. Here it expands on what Gedaliah said to the people when they came to him. I'm going to sit in Mitzpah, the city that I've chosen. And I'm going to stand in front of the Chaldeans. I'm going to be the one who represents you. Whenever they come, I'm going to be the one who has to talk to them. The rest of you, go gather, wine, oil, put it in all of your vessels. Go sit in any city that you want to gather. He's basically telling them, relax. Get comfortable, work the land, okay? Take a chill. It's over. You can, get comfortable now. You don't even have to stay in Mitzpah with me now. We can work the land. We can, make this situation work. Just serve Bavel. Let me take care of the Chaldeans, okay? You just go on with life like normal, okay? That's all you have to do. And Pasuk Yud Aleph tells us, Gam kol ha-Yehudim asher b'Moav, b'vnei Amon, b'Edom, asher b'chol ha'aretz sham'u, ki natan melech bavel she'erit li-Yehuda, v'chivkira aleihem et Gedaliah ben Achikam et Shafan. All the Jews that had to run away to all the surrounding countries heard that there was a she'erit. There was a remnant. The land was not completely desolate. There were Jews with a Jewish governor. Granted, he was appointed by Babylonia and he had to report to them, but nevertheless, it was a Jewish governor, and all of those people also, they came out from all the corners of the world where they had been hiding, where they had run to, and they all came back. When Yirmiyahu wrote Malachim, the way I like to teach it is that at the end of the book, he wanted to make it clear that the situation ended with a Chorban. So he just made it very clear, okay, there was a remnant, and then Gedaliah was killed, and then everybody left, and that was the end of the story. Here he's trying to build up the story and have you realize there was a remnant, there were people there, there could have been a chance, even though the Chorban had happened, also Yirmiyahu had these prophecies all along, it was going to be 70 years, it had to happen that way, but then everybody was going to come back. Well, imagine what it would have been like to come back to a land that had Jews been living there and working there the entire time. All you had to do was do tshuva, and then you could come back. So the bottom line is, Gedaliah is basically saying, go work the land, let's go, let's come on, and everybody's coming back. Pasuk Yud Bet says, Ve'eshuvu kol Yehudim mikol mekamot asher nitchlu sham, ve'evo eretz Yudah al Gedaliyahu ha'mispatza ve'yasfu yan ve'katzar. And everybody did exactly what Gedaliah said. And then in Pasuk Yud Gimel it says, Yochanan ben Kareach kol sareach ha'elim asher basadeh ba'al Gedaliah mitzvah. And Yochanan ben Kareach and his soldiers, they came to Gedaliah. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Here's where we get a fuller, fleshed out story. and it explains a little bit more than we might have understood from the Malachim Bet version that we read in source number one. Vayomru Elav, this is what Yochanan ben Kareach says. Hayadoa teda ki ba'alis melech b'nei Amon shalach yishmal ben Netanya lahakotcha nafesh? Do you know that Balis, the king of Ammon, is sending Yishmal to kill you? V'lo he'emin lahem Gedaliah ben Achikam. And Gedaliah would not believe them. V'yochanan ben Kareach amar al Gedaliah ba'seter ba'mitzvah le'mor. Elchana v'ake Yishmal ben Netanya v'ish lo yeda lam yakek ha'nefesh v'nafutu kol Yehuda nikbatzim eilecha ve'avda she'erit Yehuda. Okay. Maybe you don't think you can do anything about it, Gedaliah. Okay, I'm telling you that Yishmael wants to kill you. And we're going to see in a few psukim why Gedaliah might not have believed him. But before we even get to that, Yochanan says, okay, maybe you, even if you believe me, you think there's nothing you can do about it, right? Okay, so give me permission. I'll go kill him, okay? Before he even gets here and solve the problem. Because listen, Gedaliah. If he kills you, the she'erit is gone. Okay? And Yochanan's trying to explain that there's a big issue here. Obviously, I care about you, but it's more than you. You are protecting the she'erit in this country. And if he kills you, we're all lost. So he tells him, Beseter, quietly, let me go take care of it. No one will know that it comes from you. Nobody will know why I'm doing it. Nobody will trace it back. Let me take care of it. And Gedaliah says in the last pasuk on the page, Al tase et hadavar hazeh, ki sheker ata dover al Yishmael. Don't do what you're talking about. You're lying about Yishmael. So the question is, why does Gedaliah not believe what Yochanan's saying about Yishmael? Why does he have such a hard time believing it? Is it that Gedaliah can't believe that anybody would hate him this much? Is it that, like, what's the story? So let's do a few more psukim where you'll see a little bit more what Yishmael's like, and then I'll suggest maybe a little bit about why Gedaliah has such a difficult time understanding it. Okay, in chapter 41, the story continues in source number 3. Vayhi b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, it's Tishrei. Again, it doesn't give us a date. The Mefarshim disagree about whether, because it says the words Vayhi b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, that means it was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, meaning it's Rosh Hashanah. Or it doesn't give us a date, so therefore if the fast ultimately was made on Gimel Tishrei, then it doesn't give us a date, but it happens on Gimel Tishrei. So you could go either way, the Mefarshim are split. If you want, we could go for the sake of today's shiur with Radak, who says it's Rosh Hashanah, okay? So on Rosh Hashanah, Yishmael ben Netanya, ben Elishama Mizera Melucha, Verabe Emelech, Vasara Anashim Ito, Yishmael comes with a whole entourage of 10 men and other sarim to Gedaliah on mitzvah, and they have a suda, it's Rosh Hashanah. Pasuk Bet. Vayakam Yishmael ben Netanya Vasara Anashim Asher Yuto, Vayaku at Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafar Becherev, Vyamet Ito. Okay, so all of them gather on to attack him, but Yishmael in singular it says, Vayametoto, it says Vayaku in plural, they all attacked him, but Vayamet is in singular, Yishmael, he killed Gedaliah. And then it says in Pasuk Gimel, they killed everybody who was with him, we know that already. Pasuk Dalet, 5 lines from the top. Vayhi bayom hasheni lahamide Gedaliah v'ish lo yada. Second day later, nobody knew. They managed to keep it a secret. Nobody knew what had happened. Then something interesting happens. This is where you learn about Yishmael and what he might have been like. Vayavo anashim mishchem, mishilo, umishomron, shmonim ish, migulchei zakan, ukruei begadim, umitgodidim, umincha ulivona biyadam lahavi beit Hashem. All of a sudden, 80 men are coming from Shechem, Shiloh, and Shomron. They are not shaven. Their clothes are torn, which are signs of mourning. They had cut themselves, which is signs of mourning. And they're carrying sacrifices, grain offerings, and frankincense to bring to the Beit HaMikdash, which doesn't exist. The question is, what are these people doing? On the one hand, they have outward signs of mourning, so that would suggest that they, in fact, know that there's no Beit HaMikdash. But on the same token, why are they bringing things to the Beit Hashem that's not there? So the truth of the matter is that the Rambam paskins in the Mishnah Torah that even if the Beit HaMikdash wasn't there and there was no Mizbeach there, they could still bring Korbanot there, and that their outward signs of mourning showed that they knew, but that they like wanted to do something there. So they're on their way, and all of a sudden, like Yishmael gets nervous. At this point, he's managed to keep the thing a secret. Now these 80 guys are walking by. He doesn't know what to do. So Pasuk Vav, Vayetze Yishmael ben Netanya likratam min ha-mitzvah. So he goes out to meet them. Holeich halochu boche. And he goes out, and he looks like he's crying. Vayhi kifkosh otam. And he goes out to meet them. Vayomer lehem, bo al Gedaliah ben Achikam. Hey, you're passing mitzvah. Let's go meet Gedaliah. Because he doesn't know, like, do these people like Gedaliah? Do they not like Gedaliah? Where do they stand on the issue? So, like, he doesn't know whether he has to worry from them or not. So he acts all, oh, yeah, you're so sad about the Mikdash, so am I. And they say, Vayhi kivoam el toch ha'ir. They go with him. What does that mean? Obviously, they want to meet Gedaliah. Who doesn't want to meet Gedaliah? That immediately seals their fate. Vayishchatem Yishmael ben Netanya. So Yishmael kills them right then and there. But it says, El toch habor hu vanashim asher ito. He kills them with all the people that are with him. So that's where you maybe get a sense of what Yishmael might have been like. That, like, he could buddy up to you, he could manipulate you, he could act like he was feeling the same way that you were feeling, that he was doing what you were doing, but meanwhile, he was completely checking out how they felt, and he, in a split second, the minute he realized that they weren't on the same side as him, murdered them in a second. So it's very possible, if you look at Yishmael that way, say that when Yochanan went to Gedaliah and said, Yishmael wants to kill you, Gedaliah is like, no. Because chances are, Yishmael always acted in front of Gedaliah like they were best buds. And Gedaliah could not have wrapped his mind around the fact that Yishmael would have like possibly felt that way. And Gedaliah could not have believed that somebody who acted like he liked him that much really felt anything different. Yishmael obviously was a master manipulator and a massive faker. So maybe that had, you know, something to do with it. The fact of the matter is that as much as the psukim in Melachim give us the impression that the reason why Yishmael killed Gedaliah was the whole Zera Melucha thing, was because he was from Beit David, and Gedaliah wasn't. It's not like Gedaliah asked for it. It constantly emphasizes over and over, Nebuchadnezzar appointed him. Nebuchadnezzar appointed him. So granted, Gedaliah accepted it, but on a certain level, I don't know how many people say no to the, you know, the king of Babylon. You know, no thanks. You know, I'm not worthy. Go take somebody else. I don't know that. On the one hand, Malachim seems to imply that Yishmael wanted to kill Gedaliah because he should have been the governor. He was from David and not Gedaliah. You can't ignore that that is in the text, 100%. It's in both places. But on the other hand, Gedaliah might have felt like Yishmael would have had to realize that if he appointed me, that like I didn't have a choice in that. But the problem is that when Yochanan came to him and told him the story, he said to him, "Don't you know that Amon sent him?" Even though Yishmael gets described by Yirmiyahu as from Zera Malucha. When Yochanan brought him the story, he brought the story and said, don't you know Amon is sending him to kill you? So the question is, what's that about? The truth of the matter is this Baalis Melech Amon that Yochanan is talking about here, we never see that name anywhere else except for here. But what you would assume is that Amon wanted control of Israel. And if he could knock out that last remnant of Yehuda from the country, then maybe he stood a chance of wrenching Israel away from Babylonia. And one of the ways to maybe get rid of the Jews was to have a Jew kill another Jew that the Babylonian king had appointed governor, so that Babylonia would banish the rest, and then maybe they could fight for it together. So that's why Amon might have wanted the country. That's why he would have specifically sent a Jew to do it. And maybe that's where the Zera Malucha thing comes in. Maybe that's why Yishmael was party to it, because maybe he was upset about it. Because you can't ignore the fact that the Navi keeps putting that detail in there. So you have all these things going on. You never hear from Yishmael why he did it, but you have all of these pieces floating around over there. Of course, everybody always wanted control of Israel because it was, you know, in between Egypt and the East. And if you ever wanted to do trade between Egypt and Mesopotamia and anywhere else, you always had to travel through Israel. So whoever controlled Israel controlled the trade routes and could charge any amount of money they wanted for anybody who had traveled through. So everybody always was fighting over Israel. So that's why Amon would have wanted to try to wrench it away from Babylonia. And Babylonia was far off. Amon was a lot closer. So if he could have gotten control of it, he could have done a nice thing for himself. Now, on the one hand, you can understand maybe why Gedalia would have had a hard time believing Yochanan. On the same token, should he have given any credence whatsoever to Yochanan? Like, what are you supposed to do with that? So it's interesting, because if you look with me for a moment, in source number 5, oh wait, one second, before we get to that, I have to read two more seconds before we do that. Okay, so back to source number 3. And when they got to the city, Yishmael killed them into a pit. Pasukhet vasaran hashim nimtzu bam vayomru al Yishmael al timitenu ki yesh lanu matzmonim v'sadech itim asurim v'shemen dvash v'yachdal v'lohem itam v'toch hachayim. And there were 10 men amongst the 80 who said, please don't kill us. We have hidden treasures in the field. We've got all this food and grain and honey and oil. And like, you can have it all if you don't kill us. So Yishmael decided not to kill them. Pasuk tet. Now the pit from Pasuk Zion that he threw them into, we get this interesting detail about. Habor asher hishlich sham Yishmael et kol pigrei ha'anashim asher hika biyad Gedaliahu hu asher asa melch asa mifnei basha melch Yisrael oto mile Yishmael ben Netanyahu chalalim. The pit that Yishmael had thrown all the corpses that were killed by Gedalia was done by Asa when he was fighting against Baasha. That's the pit that Yishmael filled with corpses. So, of course, we have two questions on this pasuk. The first question is, why do we need to know what pit it was that he threw them into? And the second question is the awkwardly worded part that says all the et kol pigrei ha'anashim asher hika biyad Gedaliahu. All the corpses of the people that were killed by Gedaliah's hand. Gedaliah didn't kill them, so what does it mean that they were killed by Gedaliah's hand? All the Mefarshim struggle with that. So let's look at source number 5, because the Gemara struggles with it as well in Nida 61a. Tana, hu abor shemile Yishmael ben Netanya halalim. This is the pit that Yishmael filled with corpses, dichtiv. Habor asher hishlich sham Yishmael kol pigran Hashem asher yikavya Gedalia. And it quotes our pasuk, v'chi Gedalia hargan. Did Gedalia kill them? Ho Yishmael hargan, Yishmael killed them. Ela mitoch shahayalo lachosh le'etzat Yochanan ben Kareach v'lochash, ma'ale alav ha'ketuv ki'ilu hargan. But because Gedalia should have given more credence to what Yochanan ben Kareach had advised him about how Yishmael was going to kill him and he didn't, it's as if he killed them. Amar Rabba, ha'elishna bisha. But it was Lashon Hara. So of course he wasn't supposed to accept it. Okay, so it's Lashon Hara, so he can't, you know, accept it, but he should have taken precautions because of it. So as far as Chazal are concerned, when Yochanan ben Kareach came to Gedalia and said, Yishmael wants to kill you because Amon sent you, whether because of Lashon Hara he didn't want to accept it, whether because Yishmael was a master manipulator he didn't want to accept it, whatever it was, the bottom line is, when Yishmael ben Netanya shows up in Rosh Hashanah, hey, let's have a seuda together, Gedalia should have taken some precautions as a result, if not for his own life, for the fact that he was protecting the She'erit of Yehuda. Our second question on Pasuk Tet was, why does it mention the fact that this is the pit that Asa Melech Yehuda dug in his fight against Baasha Melech Yisrael? So it would seem Asa Melech Yehuda and Baasha Melech Yisrael fought the entire time that they were kings, and it seems like this was some pit that Asa had dug, so whether it was to store water or wheat or something. And I just wonder if it's just a reference again to two Jews fighting against each other, how the pit was still there, how whether it got used back then, it's getting used now, and that, you know, there was a pit dug between two Jews are fighting, and unfortunately it found its use later to show us that, you know, these things keep happening and we got to do something about it. In any event, in Pasuk Yud, it's horrible what Yishmael keeps on doing. Vayesh b'Yishmael, back in source number 3. Vayesh b'Yishmael kol she'erit am asher b'mitzpeh b'not ha'melcha kol am ha'nishmarim b'mitzpeh asher efkid nivruzadan rav tavachim ekedayah v'nechikam v'yishpem Yishmael. Now Yishmael takes them as captives, everybody who's left. Vayishmael Yochanan ben Kareach v'chol sarei chayalim asher ito et kol ra'a asher asa Yishmael ben Netanya. Then Yochanan hears everything that Yishmael did. And in Pasuk Yudbet it says, Vayikhu et kol anashim vayelchu lihilachem im Yishmael ben Netanya vayimtzu oto amayim rabim asher begivon. So now Yochanan ben Kareach goes to fight with Yishmael ben Netanya. And when the nation, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayikir Ot Kol Am Asher, Ei Yishmael, Yochanan Ben Kareach, Vekol Sarei Achayelim Asher Tov Yismachlu, when they come and see that Yochanan Ben Kareach is coming to fight, they are so happy and relieved. Vayisobu Kol Am Asher Shavi Yishmael Min HaMitzvah, Vayashovu Vayolchu LaYochanan Ben Kareach, they go run to Yochanan Ben Kareach. Vayishmael ben Netanya nimlap b'shmona anashim b'pnei Yochanan, vayelech el b'nei Amon. Yishmael runs away to Amon. Vayikach Yochanan ben Kareach v'chol sarei chayalim asher ito kol she'eri ta'am, asher heshiv mei Yishmael ben Netanya min ha'mitzpah, achar hikad Gedalia ben Achikam gvarim, anshei melchama, v'nashim v'tav v'sarisim asher heshiv megivon, vayelchu v'yeshvu b'gerut kimham asher etzel beit lachem lalechet lavo mitzrayim, mipnei ha'kastim ki yaru mipneim ki yikai Yishmael ben Netanya Gedalia ben Achikam asher efkid melech bavel. And everybody else gets ready to go down to Egypt. So basically, we get a much more fleshed out story here. And the reason why is because in the next perek, all the Jews that are getting ready to go down to Mitzrayim go over to Yirmiyahu and they're like, could you go ask Hashem, like, what the best way to go to Mitzrayim is? And Yirmiyahu says, okay, I'll go ask Hashem. And then 10 days later, Yirmiyahu comes back to them with a nevuah from Hashem. And basically the nevuah from Hashem is, do not go to Egypt. You're not supposed to go there. Just stay in the land and do whatever Bavel tells you to do, and you'll be fine. Because if you go down to Egypt, I'll hunt you down there, and I will kill you there. You are not allowed to go to Egypt. And they turn to Yirmiyahu, how could you say that to us? It's not safe for us to go here. And Yirmiyahu turns to them and says, well, you asked me to ask Hashem. What did you think Hashem was going to say? He's told you all along that you're just supposed to follow Bavel. And in the sense of Sefer Yirmiyahu, since we have to get to this nevuah of Yirmiyahu, the story is going to be longer over here. And basically, when we look at this whole story of Gedaliah's assassination, we see that it pretty much like put the final stamp on this destruction of the temple. Because, I mean, the temple had been destroyed. Anyone who was anyone was in Bavel. The people who were left were the weakest of the people. There's no doubt about it. But nevertheless, there had been a she'erit, a remnant. And if they had stayed there for 70 years working the land, it would have been a completely different situation when everybody went back. But because Gedaliah was assassinated and they got scared and ran away to Egypt, there was nobody left. And that's why when we talk about all the different fasts that we have surrounding, you know, Chorban Bayit, the destruction of the temple, Tzom Gedaliah is one of them, because you have, you know, Tisha B'Av when the temple was destroyed. You also have Shavasar Batamas when they actually breached the wall and got into the city. You have Yud Teveit when they placed the siege around the city that started the whole process. And you have Tzom Gedaliah because when he was assassinated, that like put the end to the entire destruction. What I want to go from here is talk about the fact that I spent so many years of my life fasting Tzom Gedaliah, sort of like knowing the story but never having learned it inside. And like, I don't know, what am I supposed to be doing on a fast day? How come I never learned it inside? How come I never noticed how short it was in Malachim? How come it took me years to know that it was so many prakim in Yirmiyahu? Like, what am I supposed to be doing on a fast day? Like, how did I never look at the story before? With all, you know, even if I don't understand Hebrew, with all the English that's out there, with everything that's online, what am I supposed to be doing on a fast day that I haven't read it before? Like, why don't I know more about the story? Why don't I know more about the situation? And I want to spend a few moments that I have left talking about like what we're supposed to be doing on our fast days. What are they supposed to be doing for us? What are we supposed to be making out of them? And if you'll look with me in source number 6, we'll look in the Rambam where he talks about the laws of fast days. And what he says is, in chapter 5, Halacha Aleph, Yesh sham yamim shekol Yisrael mitzanim bahem mipnei hatzarot shiru bahen. There are days where all of Israel fasts because of the tragedies that occurred on them. Kedei le'orer halevavot v'liftoach darchei hatshuva. To awaken our hearts and to open up paths of tshuva. All the sources say that starting in Rosh Chodesh Elul, we are supposed to be focusing on tshuva to get ready for Rosh Hashanah. And that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the gates are open to do tshuva as much as we can. And that on Yom Kippur, as much as the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, you can do tshuva every single day. But the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are like the days that are totally set aside to be doing tshuva. And I think that with all of the slichos that are set up and the extra tefillot that we have and the hyper-awareness we have of everything set up, putting tshuva on our brain isn't necessarily as hard as it might be the rest of the year. But the question is, are we supposed to wait till Rosh Chodesh Elul? Are we supposed to wait till Asara Yemei Tshuva to all of a sudden awaken our hearts? Or are we supposed to be constantly trying to awaken our hearts? And it got me thinking in general, when I thought about Tzom Gedalia, that sometimes it gets sort of lost in Aseret Yemei Tshuva. It's sort of the day after Rosh Hashanah, everyone's like, oh, I need a fast, I ate so much on Rosh Hashanah, thank God I don't have to eat today. Like, how many times does it get lost a little bit, like, and you don't even realize? And it got me thinking about all the other fast days, and like the conversations I have with my friends, like, I'll talk about myself, like, okay, so I'm going to go to work, and then I'm going to take a four-hour nap, and then by the time I'm done boiling the pasta, the fast will be over, and then I'll be okay. But like, how much time are we talking about what we're supposed to be doing on the fast day? And are there opportunities that are given to us where we're supposed to stop and pause and think and grasp, you know, the moments given to us to reflect on what's going on in our lives, and we don't grab them? And that's why I was thinking about the fact that, you know, every time I turn on my computer, it says, updates are ready for your computer. Do you want to run the update now, or do you want to be reminded later? And I only hit remind me later. I never run an update if I don't have to, because it freezes up my computer, and then I can't do anything for a million days. And when I turn on my computer, and then it says that they ran an update when I turned it off, and they didn't even ask me who gave them permission to do that. I just feel like there are all these opportunities that we could run an update, but the question is, are we ready to? And, you know, I just saw someone in shul yesterday actually reading a book by Rabbi Frand, which the title has a double entendre for me, which is, you know, are you listening to your messages? Which is like that there are things out there that, like, could have meaning to us. And if you look for a moment at source number 4, when it talks about Tzom Gedalia, it says in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Tzom HaShvi'i Zesh Shlosha B'Tishrei, it's the third day of Tishrei, Shabo Nehera Gedalia Ben Achikam, Umi Hargo, Yishmal Ben Netanya Hargo, it's the day that Gedalia was killed, who killed him? Yishmal, V'Lamdecha Sheshkula Mitatan Shel Tzadikim Kisrefat Beit Elkeinu, that the death of Tzadikim is the equivalent of the house of God being burnt. There are things going on all the time that can awaken us. For those of you who were with me in the NPR before, it's heart-wrenching, you know, when one of our students, you know, passes away so young. There are constantly things out there that can be wake-up calls for us. And the question is, are we paying attention? Are we stopping? Are we running the update? Or are we, just remind me later. And when you have fast days like Tzom Gedalia, so it's supposed to be a moment to pause, you have Shavuot, Arba Tamez, you have Asara B'Teves. The question is, while we're on this fast day, let's think for a moment what fast days are supposed to be, and just at least make sure that on the fast day we're doing what we're supposed to do, but at the very least realize that the truth of the matter is, if you never run the updates, like if you wait till, like, it could explode the computer if you wait till, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to wait till the end of the day. If you look with me for a moment at the last source, source number 7, the Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Brura, he really says it best. If you'll go with me if you'll go to Mishnah Brura and then 4 lines in, 5 words from the end, V'chol Elu, Chol elu hayamim, kol Yisrael mitzanim behem b'fnei atzarot shiru behem, kedei le'orer halevavot, it's to awaken our hearts, lefakech al darchei hatshuva, to open our eyes to the ways of tshuva, v'yez zikaron l'maseinu haraim, to remind us of our bad ways, maseva teinu shayakim maseinu, and our parents' ways that were like our ways, ata'ad shigaram lahem, that, you know, brought us to the day that we're doing them now, and that it'll bring us to do good, like the pasuk says, so that we can confess our sins and our father's sins. And every person on these days should, like, pay attention, to search through your deeds, and to do tshuva. Ki ein ikara ta'anit, because the main point of these fast days is not kamashe ketuv ba'anshei Nineveh, like what it says in Nineveh, which is going to be the Haftorah on Yom Kippur. Vayar Hashem et ma'aseyam, that Hashem saw what they did. Ve'amru chazal et sakam ve'et ha'anitam, lo ne'amar ela et ma'aseyam. Ve'ein ha'tanit ela hachana l'tshuva. Chazal said that what did Hashem see? Hashem saw, he didn't see like that they were mourning and that they were fasting. Hashem saw what they had done. That they didn't really do these deep reflecting and these deep fasting. He saw their like outward actions, when they had tried to repent. Because fast days are a hachana l'tshuva, are preparation for repentance. When people are fasting, like they go on trips, and they do like empty things, they're like completely wasting an opportunity. And they placed aside a fundamental thing. The whole point is like, it's an opportunity given to us, because like, there are constantly messages out there, but like, we're so busy all the time. And when the updates are handed to us, it's so easy to say, just remind me later. So when we're given a chance, like at Tzom Gedalia, when we're forced to stop, you know, let's make sure that we make the most of it and like use it to get ready, for Yom Kippur, for Tshuva. And I hope that we all get the tshuva, the kapara, and Yisrael has Yeshuot, and Mashiach comes. Amen.